Ian group. I really didn't get intense into studying, and a lot of his materials, I haven't frankly had money to buy a lot of, you know, he always says buy the CDs. So I said, I can't afford your CDs right now. So, but I have been watching your mentoring lessons that you have on the YouTube. Those are helping me a lot, you know, because it started to open me up. A lot of the things that I've already done, I didn't put a word to it, but I've experienced it. So now I'm saying, oh, wow, that's what I had. You know, I had the first gate encounters because I think it was about 2 years ago. No. Okay, my Christianity switched on in Lakeland. I was born again for many, many years, but the Lakeland revival, I just got, for some reason, drawn into watching that, and the Holy Spirit would be coming on me every night while I'm watching, and it was like I became like a Jesus freak, okay? So my husband would say, what's happening to you?
Yeah, we had the same thing here.
And it was like a light bulb went off.
Yeah, we actually had a move of the Spirit at the same time.
Yeah.
And so it was very... very interesting, because we had a move of the Spirit. The power of God really moved. We were having things. And then we discovered Lakeland was on. And so then it was like, hey, we can connect with this. And it was great, you know, really good.
Yeah, I just loved seeing the miracles. I love seeing people get touched with the glory. And it put that hunger in. Oh, there's more, Lord. There's more than just church, you know. So the supernatural, I was like, oh, Lord, I want the supernatural. I want to know you. I want to know all about you. And then that went into a love intimacy thing with Jesus. You know, I just fell in love with him. And it was like it just grew and grew and grew. And then finally, I was actually getting visions. I never had visions before. But after Lakeland, I started to have visions and dreams and even some encounters that I didn't even know. Like one time I woke, I was awake. And I would have such an encounter that physically it would manifest on my body, and I'd start shaking in the bed. Yeah. And I said, whoa, the Lord wants to speak to me. I'm staying here until I hear what he wants to say, you know. And one time I even was awake, and I was, you know, just getting up from my morning sleep, and I'm still there. I'm reading in the bed, reading the Bible or something. And I heard, it was freaking me out. I heard somebody calling down the hallway with my door shut, and they're calling my name. And I'm saying, what is that? So I called out to my husband because I knew he was up already. Is that you? What do you want, Jose? And he says, I'm not calling you. So I went back to bed again, and I heard the call again, Jerry, Jerry. I said, what is this? I said, is that you, Lord? What do you want? And then I thought of Samuel, you know, in the Bible where Samuel hears the voice. I said, Lord, I'm here if you want me. And crazy stuff like that happened. One morning I woke up and Jesus was singing over me. And he was funny, though, because he sang a secular song. I don't know if you remember it, Stevie Wonder.
Yeah.
Where it says, I just called to say I love you. I started cracking up. I said, oh, my gosh. So it's like things like that started happening.
Yeah.
And even when I go out in the backyard and I'm looking at, or anywhere, I'm looking at the sky, and he's showing me signs in the skies. I see lions. I see, you know, he starts speaking. I saw the four faces of God, the Yod, He, Vah, He, you know, first I looked out and he says, yeah, you've been practicing that with the Ian group, haven't you? And I said, yeah, I have, Lord. And he goes, look, and I looked up in the sky, I saw a man laying horizontal, and above him was the ox, and I took a picture of it, it's an ox head, and over to the right is the eagle, and I said, so me, like I'm talking to God real flippant. I said, yeah, okay, if this is you, God, where's the lion? I'm looking up at the sky. Where's the lion? And he says to me, look behind the cloud on the right. And when I did that, I saw the muzzle of the, oh, man, I saw the muzzle of the lion. And over his muzzle was two angel wings. And it, like, freaked me out. I said, okay, Lord, I'm not going to question you. So then I started getting into the gate teachings.
Yeah.
With your group there, and the Love Gate, I'm pretty sure I've been in there many times because a lot of encounters was always in my garden and the rivers and the waterfalls and all that stuff. So I'm trying to figure out where do I go next? Where do I go to the next place? Now, some lady from we have a private call every Monday or every other Monday. This lady that also has been with Ian a lot, Kathy Madden in Palm Beach. I don't know if you know her. She does creative CBLB, creative being light, creative something or light beings. Yeah, I don't know what the name of the group is.
Yeah, quite a strange name.
Yeah, I said, what kind of group is this, you know? So anyway, her calls were interesting. So she took us they took us on a couple of adventures, and we went to some mountain, and they said, okay, well, what's your horse? And it was like, oh, because 2 weeks ago the Lord showed me my horse, and I didn't know what it was. So she said, yeah, you're supposed to ride that horse and go to different adventures in the mountains and different places like that. So the Lord showed me my horse was a reddish brown, I don't know what type of horse you'd call it, the real red, red fur, you know, that, and it had flames coming off of it. And the Lord said to me that, I asked, what's your name? And I heard Dancing Flame is my horse's name.
All right.
So, yeah, so we went around this mountain, and unfortunately I had to cut out the call because it was, like, late for me. But we went through this a door, and in the door there was supposed to be some more angels and interactive things, and I saw the weirdest things in that room, man. I saw this angel. Listen to this, Mike. You're going to say this girl is nuts. But anyway, this angel had hands, but they were like silver liquid. They weren't even like physical hands, and he was writing down our names as we came in the doorway. Hey, somebody's here.
Yeah, Pamela.
I don't know what that was. There's Pamela. Hi, Pamela. Yeah. This is Jerry.
Hi, Jerry. How are you, honey?
Who's the cutie next to you?
This is Christiana.
Hi, Christiana. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Fine. I'm doing good. I'm yakking Mike's ear off. He's probably saying enough.
I didn't know if it was too late to join, but wanted to try.
No, no problem.
I'm glad you're here.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Okay.
So Mary, not Mary, Suzanne Singleton did a, she's doing also sessions off of the Ian Group.
Yeah.
To, you know, get together and experience stuff. She was teaching on the gates. Yeah, and we went through the love gate, and then she says, now I want you to picture one of the other gates. So I didn't even know where I was going, but I saw this blue door, and it was called Intuition. Yeah. So I opened the door, and all I saw was light. That's all I saw, bright white light. I couldn't even see anything else. I went in there, and I'm standing in the white light, and I don't know what that was.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, well, those doorways within our spirit are our spiritual senses or attributes. You know, they're like gateways, because whole thing of gateways is they're places of transaction, they're places of interchange. So it's where our spirit goes and engages the soul.
Okay.
And so, therefore, when the river of life flows through that gateway of intuition, it usually engages with our emotions, and we get those gut feelings and gut instincts. And,
yeah.
And sometimes it's like it operates in words of knowledge or words of wisdom and that type of thing. So, yeah, it flows out in its light because it brings revelation with it. And some people are more sensitive to that sort of intuition-type experience, and others, you know, are more sensitive to the visions or the imagination pictures. It's just really how we're wired up, really, to function. But it's good. I mean, they're good...
It's all good.
Yeah, it's all good stuff. You know, and it just, you know, we just need to be in tune with ourself and our spirit so that our spirit can bring rulership through the soul out around us.
You know, that's what I got to learn to do, yeah.
There's that side of it where I think, you know, a lot of what I do is focusing on going into the realm of heaven and engaging around the garden there or different things, but actually there's a dimension where heaven has to come through us as a gateway. We're a gateway for heaven to manifest on earth, and so we have to get a flow. You know, those rivers need to flow out of us, you know, rivers of living water flowing from our innermost being, so that we begin to create an atmosphere of the kingdom around us. You know, which is the same sort of atmosphere that, you know, that Peter must have had around him when people were brought as he passed by, and the healing anointing touched them to bring healing. You know, because it was flowing out. You know, that's why we need to make sure our gates are open and we're in tune with our spirit, engaging soul and body, so that we can begin to see from the inside out, not just the outside in. But yeah. So when we see, we can see into the unseen realm. As well as the natural realm, we can see into that unseen realm, because we can see into the realm of the angelic, and we can actually see our own angels, the other spiritual things that are going on around people, which helps us engage. You know, so it's that flow from, you know, engaging with the first love gate and letting it flow out. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, and I've been sort of, it was interesting because I watched the Suzanne's session on the gateways, and I thought, oh, I'm just going to tune into it and see what went on. But it was really interesting because what I discovered was that I had quite a number of things that I had so almost not bypassed, but because God took me through them quite quickly and I engaged quite quickly, and because I've done a lot of, I guess, ministry in the past in terms of my own life, and you know, and I'd been through, you know, I was in a 40-day fast, so I had done a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I really sort of didn't think about, well, okay, what's outside of the gateways? I know my spirit has these gateways, and they're mine, and I can open them, and I can surrender to the Lordship of Jesus, and I can see the life flow through them, but I never really thought about, oh, actually, what's in between soul and spirit? You know, and then when I was talking to people, they would see, well, I tried to open that gateway and it seemed to be blocked. And it was like, well, that's your spirit. How can it be blocked? But actually, it's what's outside.
Yeah.
You know, the things that people began to share with me that they saw, you know, shadows. And then they would see illustrations of things that were hindrances or blockages. Oh. I never really engaged that because they just weren't there, you know. And but I thought, actually, that's really useful because it will help. For those people who do see blockages, well, that's where they are. This is trying to block your spirit engaging with the soul and bringing rulership. But also, where the soul has connected to the spirit to draw life in independence, you can see that those are connections which are going the wrong way. And so when Ian talks about separating soul and spirit, dividing soul and spirit, they're really sever those soul ties where independently the soul operates but has drawn life from the spirit when we were not yet born again and our spirit was still there but not actually connected to God but still the source of our life. So I discovered that. Someone asked me a question about, well, you know, the garden of your heart. And then they said, well, what is your spirit then? If it's not a garden, what is your spirit? And I suddenly thought, hey, I'd never really thought about what my spirit is. You know, I know it's me, and I know the gateway's there, and I know the first love gate. And when I open that first love gate, I get such a sense of the presence of God that we just sort of almost embrace, and I'm surrounded with his presence. Mm-hmm. And then it's usually like I just yoke myself to him, and we sort of become one. And so it's like, I never really thought about, well, what does my spirit look like other than these gates there? So on Sunday morning, I thought, okay, in our worship time, I'm just going to go and find out. You know, so I went to look into my own spirit. So I looked at the first love gate and thought, well, actually, it's not just suspended in the middle of air. Actually, it's connected to the realm of the kingdom. So when I looked at it, I suddenly saw that it was part of a pillar of cloud that went up and up and up and up until I couldn't see it. And I thought, wow, yeah, I'm connected to heaven, and therefore I go through that gateway and I go back into heaven to follow the pathway of life and to the tree of life and things. But suddenly it struck me, you know, in terms of, you know, the Tower of Babel, they looked to try and make a tower that reached up into heaven, and yet our spirit is a tower that reaches up into heaven and is connected, you know, to that realm of the kingdom that's in us. And so that was interesting. And then I actually started to look around and see, actually, my spirit is a mountain. And it, actually, there's thrones here. And I saw a throne, and Jesus was there, and there was a throne attached to his throne, which, you know, when I'd make him Lord of my life, that's the seat of the government of my life. But of course, training me to rule. So, yeah, as he's Lord of my life, he helps me to rule. And then in that dimension where he becomes king, then he authorizes me to be Lord in a progression of maturity. You know, and ultimately, then when I'm engaged with the Father, then I operate in sonship. And so I discovered, hey, this is really cool. And then I began to look at the river of life flowing, and it began to flow down over the mountain, and it split up into streams. Mm. And that scripture from Psalm 46 came to me. You know, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. And actually, you know, we are a house of God. We are a temple of the Holy Spirit. So I found, hey, those streams are flowing down and go through those gates, you know, which is where the rivers of living water begin to flow from. And they flow out through the different gateways. Well, to be honest, I'd never really thought about it or even thought to look.
Yeah, I never looked.
Now, but when I look now, it's like, oh, yeah. And the thought came to me, I was talking about this earlier, but the thought came to me, okay, I know in the garden of my heart I can change it and I can create and I can grow things and tend and cultivate the garden of my heart. I wonder if I can do anything here. But I couldn't. I tried. And then it sort of came to me, if I've been created before the foundation of the world, my spirit is created by God. And
that's
so
right.
my spirit looks like a mountain. Other people's spirits, I don't know, may look different, but for me, that's what it looks like. So it was quite interesting just to engage and think about, you know, some of the things that I'd sort of skipped over before. I sort of encourage people to spend the time in developing these pathways so that people can then engage, because it's their pathway.
It's
easy for me to step into the realms of heaven now because I've gone over the pathway time and time and time again. And so it's become a path that is mine. But it took time to develop that path. I can go to any of those places by thought rather than having to travel through it, because it's a pathway that gives me access to any of those realms. So it's quite interesting.
Hey, Mike, what did the pillar look like?
The pillar really looked like an ethereal sort of cloud. Almost, you know, what you'd imagine the pillar of cloud when following around in the wilderness. And it had a sort of, it had form, but it just looked like a sort of a cloud pillar that went up. That's what it looked like to me, anyway.
Like light energy, maybe?
Yeah, like that. It was light and moving and swirling, and it had energy and light in it, which, wow. You know, it's the dimension of the kingdom, and the kingdom is the realm of God's rule in us, but also it's connected, obviously, back into the realm of God's rule in the realm of heaven. So do we get access through it, you know? So is there anything you'd like to ask or anything else, or would you like to do something engagement-wise?
I had an encounter. Maybe you can help understand what it was. I was just awake in my bed. I had gotten getting ready to get out, and I felt the presence of God and the Holy Spirit just come on me, where I actually physically felt it's like starting to vibrate inside me. So I said, okay, I'll wait here. What do you want to say, Holy Spirit? And I went into a vision where I was suddenly standing in the river of fire, okay, and I didn't know what it was. And it was up to my knees. It was hot, but it didn't burn me. You know, I wasn't feeling pain or anything. And I just stood there, and I knew in my spirit I was being told to put my hands out. And when I put my hands out sideways, these three angels came around, and they put on new armor on me, you know, front. They covered everything. And then once they put that on, I was able to proceed up the river because I wanted to see where the source of the river came from. And it was flowing towards me, so I kept walking through it, and I was walking faster and faster. And then it came to steps, and it was so many steps I couldn't even visualize how many steps were up there. But I said, I'm going up those steps. And I knew I had to make it. So I kept going, and there was three different platforms of steps. I get to one platform, and there's more steps and more steps. So I finally get to the top, and I say, oh, I made it. You know, and I'm up there, and I'm looking. And I kind of freaked out because I looked, and I saw the throne of God at the end.
Yeah.
And I saw, but it wasn't like a physical person. It was like a bubble, a clear bubble thing. And out of there was shooting like lightnings and energy, and it was woo, 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 whoosh kind of a thing. And I'm looking, and inside the bubble is Father God. I saw his form. It was like white, and he was moving, and he was energy. And he spoke to me through my mind. He says, don't be afraid. I want you to come forward. So when I did that and I got closer, I felt those light. He says, put your hands up straight in the air. So I put my hands up straight. And then when I did that, the lightning bolts from him came in both of my hands. And when it did that, I actually physically felt it in the bed. I was like, whoa, you know, I got shocked. You know, I was like, whoa. And I was vibrating the whole next day with that. But then after he gave me the impartation of that, he took me right away to a scene with Jesus. We were in the garden, and Jesus was just hugging me and giving me flowers and just enjoying his presence. So I said, what in the heck was that? So maybe you know what that was.
I do know exactly what that was, because I've been there exactly like that myself. Virtually identical experience.
Wow.
My very first encounter in heaven was in exactly the same place.
Oh, good.
I was taken there into the river of fire, wanted to see where it went, knew it was coming out of the throne of God, and then engaged with the fire stones, which are what those steps are.
Oh, okay.
The steps, there are three layers of steps representing Father, Son, and Spirit, and representing the nine fruit of the Spirit, and representing the nine stones that covered Satan's body as a reflection of the glory of God's character. Yeah. And so when I stepped on those steps, it was like I became one of them. It was almost like love, joy, and peace.
Yeah.
And patience and goodness and kindness, and then, you know, up through the steps. And it's like that. It was an amazing encounter. And, you know, I was exactly the same. Eventually, when I got to the top, I just could not look. I just fell down before the presence of God.
I mean, it was kind of frightening, but he told me, don't be afraid.
Yeah, you know? Well, it was like an awe, a sense of awe. That really is a place of transformation. The river of fire represents the transforming power of God's presence that comes out of his throne.
Mm-hmm.
And the stones, the fire stones, are places of exchange and trade, almost, where we exchange the old for the new, and we embrace a new aspect of God's character in the fruit of the Spirit. And it is a powerful place, you know. And
I'll never forget that.
Yeah, no, it was. I never will either, because it was my very first encounter in heaven, and I had a very, very, very similar experience. So it's an awesome place, and. Yeah, just engage. It was like I've never felt love like stepping onto this step, and it's like my whole being became joined with it, as if I never wanted to move again. Yeah. That's how it felt like to me. And you know, it's just the very essence of God. And I could. It's almost like it was so. When I looked at it, it was like it was. I could see into it and see the swirling energy of God within it. It was just such a powerful thing. But yeah, so that flows in heaven from the throne of God and flows down, you know, the mountain to where those steps are. I mean, it's a you know, I've not really encountered that many people who've been there, and essentially it's not a place that I've actually taken anybody. I've never really thought about taking anyone there.
Well, I didn't force the encounter, it just came on me.
Yeah, it did with me. Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know what, but you know what, after that, I told somebody about it, and I'm telling you, the whole week after that, I was like full of so much energy, I just had to give it away, and people that I was touching, the impartation on, they got such full of fire and heat that they couldn't take it, they started to crunch over. And I said, wow, I got some impartations there from God, because I was kind of saying, well, was this you, Lord? Because I know I got something. I want to make sure it's you. Where is it in Scripture? So then he showed me in Daniel, where the river of flames come out of the throne.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And also the firestones are talked about in Ezekiel 28.
Yeah.
It says that Satan stood on the firestones on the mountain of God.
Yeah. So, and I noticed since then when I pray for people, healings come fairly quick, you know, so it's an increase, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But I enjoyed it. I want to do more, man.
Okay. So is there anything you want to share, Pamela?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. No, well, I don't know, Mike, when it's easy for me, and because we engaged through worship some years ago, you know, that pathway has been through worship. Mm. And so it's real easy for me to get there. I guess my question is about the prophetic. And I notice, I see and I sense and feel. I mean, it's just all over me. Mm. And there's like a point that I get, and I mean, he's just full-blown there. You know, the manifestation. And it's like I don't know what to do after I get to that point. We had an encounter on Sunday, and I had the microphone, and I'm singing, and I'm doing all this stuff, and his presence just is, like, overwhelming. And I'm like, he's here, guys. You know? Lean into it. Everything you need is here in this moment. And it's like I don't know how to get past that point. I don't know. Because I'm like seeing arms where they're not there, and see, you know, seeing the creative realm, I guess.
Yeah. Well, it's like you're in a sense you're experiencing the presence of God when that presence is there in corporate worship, and when there's a multiplication of the presence of God because people are coming together, and when you're worshiping. Which is great, and that will release you into experiences of the things that God is doing in that realm. I think the key to our daily outworking the kingdom on a daily basis is we need to be able to engage in the rulership of God in the realms of heaven by our own engagement, because we can step in and step out. And it's like it's learning. We start by having visions and seeing into that realm. And so you see into the realm, and it's like in John, in Revelation, John in the first three chapters was seeing a vision of heaven, and he was seeing into that realm, and he could see like a one like the Son of Man standing there with the clothes and the fire and the eyes and all that stuff. Awesome, amazing visions. Of it. But in Revelation 4, there was the invitation, come up here, because the door was standing open in heaven for us to come up here. And that came after the, you know, behold, I'm standing at the door and knock, open up the door. So as we open up the door into the realm in our own life through first love, then he says, okay, the door is open into the realm of heaven, step in here, and I'm going to show you things that are yet to come. And I think it's that we need to move from looking into that realm in a visionary sense into visiting that realm and going into it. And then ultimately, once we've learned to visit, have a look around, find out what's there, find out the areas in that realm, in those realms that we need to operate in the protocol of the kingdom, so that we begin to rule and establish kingdom rule on earth as it is in heaven, then we begin to go into the realm of habitation where we can live there at the same time as living here. And I think that's what Jesus was able to do. And I think he described it in John, I think it was 3:13, that he described that, you know, he'd come out of heaven, but he was still living in heaven. It was still his home as a man. And that's, I think, the point where God would bring us to fullness of maturity, when we are able to function there and here at the same time, connecting there and here, a gateway of there to here, and so that we're connected to that realm, administering that realm here through our lives, where it begins to flow through us and manifest here. And I think that is sort of the practice of stepping into that realm, engaging that realm, and creating the pathway of that realm. Because it must be be something that we can do at will whenever we need to, and eventually that we're just living there continually. And so I would see a lot of people have had visions, have had encounters, but they're not necessarily able to engage in that encounter when they want to. It's almost like a dependence on an anointing present or worship or the presence of God or other things to help open the atmosphere up, whereas we need to be able to do it wherever, anytime. And I found in my own life that really has come as I've developed the pathways over and over and over again. The more I've practiced and gone back over the pathways, you know, the pathway of opening the first love gate and then engaging my mountain in the spirit, and that, and then flowing out from inside out and then engaging back into the realm of heaven, that pathway of relationship and intimacy, connecting up to the source of life, you know, and the more I've done that, you know, the more now I can just go anywhere along that pathway just by engagement is thought. So if I want to go to the tree of life, I think about the tree of life and I step into and I'm there. My spirit engages, you know, and but it's taken me time to create that as my pathway. And so a lot of the encounters I do to help people experience some of these things is like opening up a door for someone to walk through, but then they have to go back and continually use that doorway. So it becomes their point of access, you know, because I would really hate it if people could only engage whenever we have a mentoring session and they only step in when I open a door. The purpose of opening that door is just so that it becomes an open door for people to go back in, use the encounter that they had, anchor it in their own life, and then use the doorway to go back through it. And I feel that, you know, that pathway is one that I love being on and engaging in that intimacy. But actually, we are called to be responsible as sons to rule. You know, it wasn't just about, oh, we'll have a great time walking with God in the garden. It was about subduing the earth and bringing dominion. You know, that's what Adam was called to do. So, yes, he was to tend and cultivate the garden, but then actually he was supposed to see that garden fill the whole earth and bring dominion to the earth. And so there's a real sense that we are called to engage in rulership, and that is where we need to present ourselves as living sacrifices to engage the different realms of heaven so that we know what is it that God wants us to do on a daily basis. You know, and as we see what the Father's doing on a daily basis, because we go and see, then we can start manifesting what he's doing on a daily basis. And that very much enables us to operate in the authority of the kingdom using mandates and scrolls. You know, I was talking to the other group just before we started this about getting daily mandates, because I know that we have scrolls for our whole destiny, but actually you can get a mandate for one purpose, 1 minute, 1 hour, 1 day, for something specific. And when you carry that mandate, it releases an authority from heaven that you just don't have without it. Even though we can go around doing a lot of good things, we want to go around doing God things. And therefore we need the authority released to us to do those God things. And so stepping in around the ark of God's presence, and you know, the lion and the ox and the eagle and the man, and around the presence of God in the ark, is where I engage with the will of God and I come into alignment and agreement with it, and I receive that mandate. Maybe just for 1 day, and it has to be a day at a time. You know, I have my life mandate, if you like, in terms of my scroll of destiny, which really guides and directs my whole life, but I actually need to operate 1 day at a time. And I think that means I need to open my first love gate up each day. I need to step in around the ark each day, because that enables me to have fresh grace and mercy for each day. You know, it says, you know, there are new mercies every day, fresh mercies every morning. You know, and actually we can run out if we try and focus on yesterday or tomorrow. We need to focus on today. And I think it's really important to understand that we can go and get that revelation of what it is God wants us to do today. And there's things that he can give us specifics for. that then we know we have authority to do. There are things that he can write on our hearts which draw us towards the things that we need to engage in every day. You know, and there's around the arc of his presence, that's where we get daily mandates released. And it's like, you know, it's represented by the manna. You know, in the wilderness, the manna only lasted one day. They couldn't store it for tomorrow. They had to go and get it fresh every morning. And it's like that with the will of God for our lives on a specific basis. We go every morning. I go every morning, what is your will today? And I engage to then look out of the presence of God that's there, out of either the eyes of the lion or the eagle or the ox and the man, because this rhythm where you look into and then look out of. And so that the ox and the man look into, but the eagle and the lion bring out. And so, you know, once we're standing in his presence, we can begin to see through his eyes and we can speak through his mouth in that area that we're aligned with and called to. And we can do that on a daily basis. And then once you have your mandate, you can then go and administer it from your mountain, you know, which is the place of authority that is representing you as a spirit being in the realm of the kingdom of God, and with seven mountains associated with it, which are your spheres of authority in the kingdom, you can rule because you have something to administer and to declare or call forth or decree, or sometimes you get a strategy for that specific thing. So you go and take that mandate for the day to the court of strategy, the war court, and you get strategy. And then you can get angels assigned to the strategy, and then you can release the angels from the court of angels to work with and outwork the mandates that are coming as a result of you engaging with the will of God. Because Jesus said, you know, my will is to do that which he sent me. My food is to do the will of him who sent me. And so it was his nourishment almost, his sustaining force of his life came from outworking the will of God, because it brings with it resource and power and anointing and authority that comes with it. And Jesus said to his disciples, you know, I've got food that you don't know of, yeah, because my food is to do the will of him who sent me. And that is where we get our strength and anointing from, knowing that that's the will of God for us. And we can do various things then in heaven and manifest them on earth as a result of carrying authority. You know, so the key is not just seeing into these things, but going and stepping in and then operating from there to manifest that through our lives here on earth. You know, and that's a whole different protocol. You know, and there are lots of places you can engage in that whole dimensional realm in terms of different courts, but also you can engage with wisdom, and you can engage various other places in the throne room of God and the different in the mountain of God, the different rooms in the mountain of God, because you may need a mantle for a particular purpose. Well, you can go into the mantle room and you can get that mantle, which you carry then as that symbol of authority that releases you in power and authority, you know. So there's a whole sense of that, I think, that God is calling us just from encounters to, you know, visiting and administering from the kingdom in the realm of heaven, you know, if that sort of makes sense on that. Okay. You know, because I do feel it's a really important topic, because so many people are having visions and they're having encounters and God is drawing them and they're being drawn towards a fresh, new understanding and experience of heaven. You know, years ago, there were only a few people you ever heard that had ever been to heaven. You know, one of them was a guy who, I think he's called Ian McCormack, who died of a box jellyfish, and he has this testimony of going to heaven. And, you know, he's still giving that testimony, and it's a powerful testimony, but there was no inkling that all of us can go there before we die, you know. And that then you started to get more and more things of people that had engagements in heaven and books about heaven and things, because God is opening that realm and encouraging us all to go there, you know. But for some, it's almost like the way it's described as, well, this is only for special people or special occasions, when No, it's for all of us all the time. And so it is, it's really important that we get hold of it and can engage in it and then learn the protocols. Because every kingdom has protocols to learn of how you do things. You know, and that's when we learn how to use our mandates and authority, just like Jesus did. You know, and yeah, it's an exciting opportunity that God's opening. But we have to be willing to pay the cost to develop the pathways, which means we've got to be willing to practice training our senses to discern and operate in those realms by going over it over and over again, daily going back there, learning, yeah, having fun along the way. But it is a responsibility, you know. A lot of us have operated in the past under stewardship, where we were good stewards of the anointing and we had gifts and we did those things in the, on earth and we were good stewards of it. But those were just the little things that God wanted to see that we were faithful with so that he could entrust us with greater things. And the entrustment was then friendship. And, you know, when Jesus said to his disciples, you know, I'm no longer going to call you servants, you're friends. Because friends know what's behind what God is doing. They know him and his ways, not just his works. You know, I think it says in one of the Psalms, I think it might be 103 or something, that, you know, Moses knew the ways of God, the children of Israel, only his works. They saw what he did, but they didn't know him. And so God is calling us to know him and engage with him in a whole different dimension of experience and therefore responsibility, you know, because then as friends he reveals more and then he wants to invest us with the authority as lords to rule the mountains, you know, and that then is another step of authority where as a lord we operate under his kingship, but we get to administer the things that he has decreed and released to us. But eventually, we also get then to engage as in kings. As kings, when he then sees us faithful with lordship, he will invest us with a higher level of authority in the realm of the kingdom of heaven as kings. And therefore, we begin to administer those things that come out of our own desires of our heart in alignment with our destiny to bring creative things into order and to bring transformation into order. Because we are operating and we can decree laws and we can go to the court of kings and we can get laws and we can then administer those laws and bring them in and see them bring change and transformation. So it's a great responsibility, but it is fun finding out and exploring and understanding these things along the way, which is great. So yeah. Okay. So anything else you'd like to do quickly? I've got sort of 10 minutes or so.
Can I share about what happened one time, Mike?
Yeah, sure.
I began to ask the Lord, this has been 5-6 years ago, what room I was in. And I saw myself standing at the throne. But I saw myself peering around the corner, watching myself. And the Lord, God was asking me my opinions about things. Yeah. And I held that really close because if I told anybody, they would think, oh, you're prideful or what have you, because there was just not understanding.
Yeah.
Is that... At that point, are we talking friendship or as far as in the walk? I would have never envisioned, you know, I was very humbled by it. Why would he ask me my opinion? Hmm. Because I'm wanting to get his opinion.
Sure. Yeah. You know? Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. I think some of these experiences are very much forerunner experiences. So we will have an encounter like that, which shows this is God's desire for us to enter into a relationship where we converse with him. And obviously, you know, where it talks about Moses, Abraham being a friend of God, and the whole debate over Sodom and Gomorrah, over whether, you know, he was going to save the city over 50 people or 10 people, or that sort of thing. And, you know, the experience really is that when God talks to us and we engage with him, he's looking for us to engage our destiny and release those things that have been creatively within us, because he doesn't want to do all the creating. He's called us to do the administration of the planet and the created order. So he's wanting, you know, he gave Adam the privilege to name the animals. So we get to name things. Now, I personally believe, and I'd spoken to Adam once, and it's like those animals didn't look like the things we see now until he spoke them and named them, and therefore the name gave them their appearance and what they were. Because it came out of God's desire for him to bring fruitfulness into the world and to bring the dominion of God into the world through him. And so he was given dominion, and Jesus has come back. Now all authority in heaven and earth has been given to him, so he releases that dominion to us, but he wants us to be really involved. Now obviously you don't give children, you know, a machine gun, because they would be dangerous. So it is a level of maturity that we get, that he can entrust us to engage with the desires of our heart that are associated with our destiny, so that those things can be released on the earth and through our lives. And he wants us to engage in that creative activity with him. And therefore he's asking, because he's wanting to draw out of us the desires that come from our destiny and the things that have been written about us before the foundation of the world. And he's looking for us to connect with those things. And as we start to connect, the whole desires of our heart begins to be drawn towards them. And of course, the more we draw near to him, the more the revelation of those things gets unfurled in our lives, and we find that we are changed and drawn towards things just by near him, you know. So I would say that your experience was one that foreshadowed his desire, and he's calling you to that place of where you continue to engage with the destiny that you have and see, hey, you have authority here. He entrusts you with that to release that on the earth. You know, so it's great. I mean, you know, and I'm in similar things. I've had lots of forerunner experiences, and I'm thinking, well, what was that, and where was that, and why was that? And now I see the bigger picture often now, and see, yeah, that fitted in with this. You know, I had an experience 20 years ago where I was in a vision of a mountain, and I'm going up the mountain, and there were stations on that mountain where I stopped and I looked. But I couldn't remember what I saw, because I just wasn't in the right place at the time. You know, we were in a revival situation in 93, 94, and so it was a very powerful experience. But it was a forerunning experience of engaging the mountain of God. And now God showed me what I was seeing then. My spirit was seeing it, and because it was seeing what its future engagement was. But my mind wasn't able to contain it, because I had no grid. I had no reference point for a heaven or going to heaven. You know, it was all about the anointing and what God was doing in revival, but I had no grid reference. But God showed me in that place, and I went up the mountain, and it was like I can remember walking up it and marching up it, and I was marching higher and higher, and then I stopped and I looked, but I couldn't contain the memory. But the experience I remembered, and then God took me back and showed me, look, 20 years ago, I was showing you your destiny, your spirit embraced it, but you just weren't ready to hear it, see it in your soul, because it would have freaked you out. You just couldn't have contained it or thought it possible, but actually I've led you on that path, and you've been walking up that mountain ever since. and he showed me what some of the stations where I stopped and I looked were, and there were certain experiences and certain things that I'd been involved in which were the expression and the outworking of it, so which was really cool, because it was like, you know, that God showed me some things which I previously didn't understand, so yeah, it was great. So okay, well, we'll leave it there. I've got a